Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for June 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The checks and balances are one of the greatest places to start. The founders brilliantly put those checks and balances in place to help us keep a handle on the proper role of limited constitutional, moral, peaceful government. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack. Sheriff Mack was with us. We talked about Americans plan on spending a staggering amount of money on alcohol, believe it or not, for the 4th of July. A study from Wallet Hub indicates $1.4 billion on beer and wine to celebrate America's birthday. $1.4 billion. And you think about poverty and everything else in America and in the world, and you just go, are you kidding me? $1.4 billion on alcohol. Dozens of major corporations are now offering to pay for their employees to travel out of state to get abortions. Wow. 56 big companies announce abortion perks. Hundreds of companies remain silent. We talked about this lady. Her name is Angelay Rose Gomez. She's the mom who saved her children from the Uvalde massacre. Now the cops are, well, harassing her. That's according to TheBlaze.com. Why would the cops harass her? Oh, she made them look bad, I guess? Wow, what a shame that is, ladies and gentlemen. Look, they've made mistakes there. Why don't we cop to them and build trust with the American people? The continued lies and manipulations, and especially attacking this poor woman for just trying to save her children. What do you expect her to do? All right, we talked about the state Supreme Court rejects law-giving non-citizens vote, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I guess a court judge from Staten Island said in New York, look, you can't have illegals vote and it's unconstitutional. They tried to make a law that said illegals could vote and the judges said, not doing that, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I'm for people coming to America. We just need to create a big legal door and we need to shut the illegal door. That's all. We got to learn to do it right. We also talked about sudden adult death syndrome. Yeah, media outlets around the world are talking about this. It's going on. People are just dying. Just in the middle of the day, they just die or they just don't wake up or whatever. Sudden adult death syndrome. A lot of people are saying it relates to the COVID. But then others say, no, that's just crazy town. That's conspiracy theory. Don't believe that at all. All right, we'd also talked about the CSPOA. If you want to get the SMS updates, or in other words, you want to get texts from CSPOA, all you got to do is text the letters CSPOA to 53445. That's 53445. And you can go ahead and get updates on the CSPOA. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two was a simulcast with TV on Brighty on TV, the Sheriff Mack Show, and Liberty Roundtable Live. And we had our guest on, Racine County Sheriff Chris Schmeling. And he says, look, the election statute was in fact not just broken, but shattered by members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the WEC. Sheriff Schmeling literally refers election commissioners for criminal charges. Why? The good sheriff stood up and said, look, the problem is they're intentionally violating election laws. So he's pushing for criminal prosecutions. We'll let you know what happens at our press conference on July the 12th, 10 a.m. in Vegas at the Ahern Hotel for more details. You want to learn more about that? CSPOA.org/elections. Yeah, he's referred them to criminal charges. They're accused of breaking the law during the 2020 presidential election and beyond. The sheriff is also calling on the attorney general there, Josh calls his name to conduct a statewide thorough investigation into the illegal directives issued by the Wisconsin Election Commission. This is serious, folks. And there's other sheriffs that have open investigations as well on election fraud. Senator Ron Johnson formerly headed the Senate Homeland Security Committee, which oversees elections. He says Schmeling's investigations might just be scratching just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to election fraud in Wisconsin. There you have it. Archives of the simulcast are available. Audios at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Videos available at brighteon.com. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Murray Sabrin is with us. He started out as the immigrant son of Holocaust survivors, and now he's become an American libertarian icon. Okay, he understands and communicates libertarianism and how it can save America. You want to learn more? MurraySabrin.com. Doctor, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure being with liberty-minded folks around the country talking about the great issues that affect the American people.
Now, really quick, election fraud still hot topic. Your thoughts?
Well, if there's fraud, then it has to be presented to a court and let there be a trial of any allegations regarding fraud. I mean, I'm not an election election fraud expert, but certainly there are people around the country who have evidence, or at least they claim to have evidence. And so let that be brought to a court of law and let it be adjudicated so we can see with transparency what exactly happened during the 2020 election. The thing that really disturbs me about elections these days, Sam, is that we're supposed to have election day. Now we have election months where people just go and vote whenever they want. You have mail-in ballots, which we know are prone to fraud. There's evidence that people stuff the election boxes, the drop boxes around the country, especially in the key states where Trump lost. So let's have a thorough investigation. Let's have a bipartisan commission. Let's have independent investigators do this so we can get to the truth. After all, the truth will set you free, as somebody once said.
One of the interesting things that I find about the vote fraud is they always claim that there's no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. But whenever you try to get to court thus far, it gets shut down without even looking at the merits of the case. So I look at Texas, and they sued saying, look, other states have changed their election laws illegally, and that's the problem. Well, the courts rejected it and said, you know, Texas didn't have standing, but never looked at the case. Now you look at January 6th. We recommended people do not go there in the first place, but it went off the rails, sadly so. But Congress, because of all that, never looked at it either. And so the problem that I'm having with the whole discussion is we're not really giving this a fair hearing, a fair discussion. We're not really dragging this out into the open for discussions. We're just claiming there's no evidence, but yet nobody can bring their evidence to a proper adjudication. And so to me, none of that stacks up. Congress, I agree, on January the 6th, if there was a problem, may have had to back away for a little bit, but they still should have looked into the issues that were requested in the first place. See, they never did. And so every time, if we never really get to the evidence, we never really have a complete vetting. On one hand, they claim there's no vote fraud. On the other hand, I type in vote fraud into Google, and I see case after case after case of convictions. What gives?
This is why elections have become so problematic in this country. I mean, when I started voting in 1968, it was pretty simple. You go to the local voting place, you go into the voting booth, you choose your candidates, and that was it. Mail-in ballots were few and far between. It was only for people who were incapacitated or couldn't get to the voting booth because of some illness. But now mail-in ballots seem to be more prominent than ever, and that's ripe for fraud, because what if someone is printing up these ballots and distributing it to somebody or a group of people who want to stuff the ballot box? So you have to have really significant security issues when it comes to mail-in ballots. The other thing that happened, as you may be well aware of, in some states, ballots were supposed to be postmarked no later than election day, and there were ballots that were sent in that were postmarked after election day, and the judges ruled that they could be counted. Now, if you have a rule and you're supposed to follow it, then follow the rule and don't make exceptions for it. But the whole thing is really disturbing, and this is the question, Sam, one of the most important issues I think that we have. is democracy the best way, quote, democracy the best way to organize ourselves? Remember, democracy is only a process. What's important for me is the name of your show, the Liberty Roundtable. Where is liberty in this whole equation? Because you can have democracy, you still have authoritarianism and tyranny. Just because you have voting doesn't mean you're going to have a free society.
Well, and where is due process, too, if we say that we're not going to accept the dates that are the laws for election ballots to be postmarked by or whatever else, the judges can just change the dates. Who makes the laws around here? See, to me, the checks and balances are key, and that's what jettisons the democracy for the greatest country on the face of the earth. We have some democratic principles, I agree, but we're a constitutional republic replete with checks and balances here. We can't just have, you know, a court decide we don't care about the date anymore. That's not the law, sir.
Well, the real problem, when you strip away all the discussion about voting, the real issue is that there's too much power in Washington, D.C. That's why libertarians like myself call for radical decentralization, where decisions should be made at the individual level, the family level, the community level, the local government level. And if we did that in the United States, we wouldn't have all these very, very contentious issues at the federal level, such as Roe versus Wade, gun control, and things like that. Let things be decided at the local level, which I think is what the founders envisioned for this country, that the states would be laboratories of democracy, and each culture of the state would determine what rules and laws would be passed.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Murray Sabrin with me, and my buddy Michael Harrison over at Talkers Magazine said this: now that he's retired from his distinguished career in teaching, I keep telling this public intellectual that he needs to get his own talk show. We agree. Hang tight. More with a good doctor and prescriptions in seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Murray Sabrin with us. The United States of America. Is recession a real possibility, folks? The economy is critical. And I went to Dr. Murray Sabrin's website. You want to learn more? MurraySabrin.com. And it says this: Fortune publishes my forecast on the next bust. Believe it or not, inflation, recession, and the Federal Reserve. Dr. Murray Sabrin literally wrote a couple of books on the topic. Great libertarian prose, to say the least. Are we headed for a recession, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Every time the Federal Reserve manipulates interest rates to close to zero, which is what we had for many, many years because of the really incoherent policies of the Federal Reserve, they believe that it's their mission to, quote, stimulate the economy, which never works. All they do is create a bubble, which we saw during the 90s with the dot-com bubble. We saw this with the housing bubble. And now we have the everything bubble. Everything's inflated from local housing to rents to artwork. I mean, there are pieces of art that are going for incredible prices these days. Automobile auctions. You're seeing cars going for multi-millions of dollars. A Mercedes-Benz recently sold, one of only two in the world, sold for, I think, $150 million, Sam. This is an example of all the money that's around the world sloshing around trying to find a home. And what they do is they bid up things in the economy. Just think of the economy as one big eBay, where people are bidding against each other for goods and services. This is what you have in the economy. And so what we're seeing is, because of this unsustainable boom, the Federal Reserve, now that inflation is no longer, quote, transitory, it is real. It is going at close to double-digit levels. In fact, some prices have gone up 15-20%. Rents in some communities are up 30-40% from a year ago. This is not a small problem. This is a huge problem.
So this brings up the question. When it was transitory, people said it was real, like me. And government leaders said, oh, no. And the head of the Fed and everybody else said, oh, no, it's transitory. You don't know what you're talking about. Did they lie or did they not really realize?
I don't think they understand what's going on. They don't think
they're that ignorant, really.
I mean, I've done a deep dive into their writings, into their speeches, and they keep on saying the same old thing. Our responsibility is to the economy. No, it's not. It's to make sure the check's clear through the banking system. Let the economy do its own thing, which is buyers and sellers, entrepreneurs, making sure that goods and services that people want are actually available in the marketplace. That's the job of the entrepreneurs. The men and women across this country for 200 years have provided the American people with an incredible standard of living. It's when the government taxes and spends and borrows and the Federal Reserve prints money is where you create all these distortions. And now, what are the distortions? If your audience members remember the 1970s, where we had two gas shortages. That's because of government policy, not because of the refiners or the oil companies. Every distortion we have in the economy, every bad thing that happens in the economy is because of government policy. And we have to understand that. That's why I'm on this mission to educate the American people through shows like yours and others. What can we do? And basically what we can do is we either write a letter to our local Congress and say, listen, get the government out of the economy and things will be better. Build businesses at the local level to provide goods and services for your fellow citizens. If we did that, get out of these endless wars. Stop trying to provoke Russia into a nuclear war. This is crazy what's going on overseas. I mean, who would ever thought that Ukraine is our ally? A bunch of Nazis are running the country. And as a son of Holocaust survivors, I find this so offensive and appalling that our government, with Joe Biden, is supporting a government that has Nazis throughout its ranks. This, to me, is a blot on the American culture, American society, American government, and the American people have to say, no more. We're not going to support a government that is full of Nazis.
And the reason that I asked you the question, if they knew ahead and if they lied or if they didn't really realize, folks, is because, look, inflation, recession, the Federal Reserve, look, you know what? They have a responsibility and they instigate all this stuff. Okay. So the supply chain disruptions, for instance, including baby formula, really was kind of manufactured in DC. Other countries don't have a baby formula crisis. And so you kind of wonder how much of this they're ignorant about and they kind of follow it and get led around by the nose versus how much of that do they foment or create, if you will, Dr. Sabrin.
Well, this is why it's appalling that Joe Biden and his minions in his administration don't care about high gas prices. What they want is they want us to drive electric cars, which of course takes fuel in order to power the electric generation stations that you need to charge the cars. These are people who have an agenda. The agenda is we know better than the American people of how to structure the economy. This is the authoritarian collectivist mindset that's been going on in this country for more than 100 years since the beginning of the progressive era in the late 19th, early 20th centuries. Now it's coming to a head. They've got the Federal Reserve. They got the income tax. They got the federal budget. They've got the regulatory agencies. They've got the military-industrial complex. This is the evil of big government unfolding right before our eyes. And I've lived long enough to see this incremental change that has taken place in my lifetime that now we're coming to a head. We're at that proverbial fork in the road. we either going to have a free society and a peaceful foreign policy, or we're going to be mired in the abyss of collectivism, which means all the trappings of totalitarianism, authoritarianism that we've seen throughout American history or world history for the past 200 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are quintessential questions. I support the former. I want a peaceful free market. I want to live free and just be left alone, right? That's what most Americans want. But these people, these tyrannical agenda folks, they don't want that. They want two classes of people. They're the leadership and in control, and you and I are the lemmings to be led off a cliff by their economic folly, in my humble opinion. Now, Dr. Sabrin, you also wrote a kind of a guide, an entrepreneurial survival guide to help people navigate the boom-bust cycle that we're kind of experiencing now at their hand, right?
Absolutely. This was an important book for me to write because there are so many people out there who are just look at what's happening on a day-to-day basis and don't look at the big picture and how their companies, how their small businesses are affected by government policy, especially the Federal Reserve. And so I wrote this as sort of a handbook of what to do when you see this boom occurring that is unsustainable, because when most people during a boom, they think it's going to be continued, and therefore they go on a wild spending spree, they take on a lot of debt, and when the crash comes or the recession comes, they're stuck with all this debt, their income may dry up because they get laid off, or their businesses contract because sales decline, and they're stuck. So I've written this book on how to navigate not only the boom, but the bust. And that's critical because the bust is coming. I think it's going to be no later than the second half of next year. It may happen sooner. There's no way to precisely predict the date this is going to happen. But given all the research I've done, it seems to me that the recession will take place no later than next year. Could it happen this year? Well, there's only 6 months left of this year, and it doesn't look like it's going to be happening this year. I may be wrong, but the point is you've got to prepare yourself. And that means as an individual, you should be raising cash to make sure that if you do get laid off, you do have enough reserves to take you through the next 6-9 months if you get laid off. I felt that 40 years ago during the 81-82 recession, I got laid off. Fortunately, we had reserves to get us through that period. But people need to realize that these recessions are not inevitable, but they are part of the business cycle that the Federal Reserve creates by just trying to manage the economy. This is a $20 trillion economy. You cannot manage it. Collectivism doesn't work. It didn't work in the Soviet Union. It's not working in Cuba. They're reforming their economy. It's not working in North Korea, the two last bastions of collectivism and communism. So let's have a free market economy once and for all. Get the government down to its basic limited activities, which is outlined in the Constitution. And let's have peace and freedom, not only here, but around the world. And it doesn't take much to do so. But there are so many special interests, Sam, as we all know, that love big government. And many of them are in corporations. They love big government because they get subsidies, they get special grants, they get special privileges, they get tariffs, which keeps out competitive imports. So we have a lot of work to do to educate the American people so they will demand we want a free society, not this manipulated, managed economy that is causing so much pain around the country.
Now, as you wisely underscore, you cannot, folks, tell exactly when the bust might happen. But you can read the tea leaves and know that, look, things are not looking good. And whether the bust happens tomorrow and we kind of fall off a cliff, if you will, or whether it's just a slow, continued inflationary / stagflationary situation, over months and months and months, that's what will be yet to be seen, if you will. To me right now, what we see is just a slow continued robbing of the wealth through inflation. Americans are being fleeced. Inflation is the great hidden tax, if you will. And Americans are feeling it everywhere, from the pump to the cost of housing to, okay, and I don't see it getting any better. Even if we don't fall off a cliff and have a complete bust, we will have continued inflationary reality. And the more they try to stop it, almost the more they create the demise, if you will, because the circle or the cycle continues. And it's almost like when you rob Peter to pay Paul, it just simply gets worse. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Sabrin respond to that, because whether we fall off a cliff or not, I don't know. But I know this. I don't see it turning around and getting easier for the average consumer, for the average American. So you better be aware of that. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman. Dr. Murray Sabrin with me. MurraySabrin.com is his website.
Listen to the wind blow. exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Because of Russia's ongoing war in Ukraine, President Biden announced Wednesday the creation of a permanent headquarters for U.S. forces stationed in Poland, as well as new deployments of troops and weapons to Europe. The number of U.S. troops stationed in Europe soared to 100,000 in the wake of Russia's invasion in February, with 10,500 members stationed in Poland. Former aide to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Cassidy Hutchinson, testified before the made-for-TV January 6 committee. Her claim of President Trump lunging to take control of an SUV is being disputed. Two Secret Service agents are prepared to testify before Congress that Trump did not lunge at his steering wheel or assault them. The USFL Football League Championship game is Sunday evening. Birmingham Stallions will play the Philadelphia Stars in Canton, Ohio's Pro Football Hall of Fame. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
A SpaceX flight to the ISS has been rescheduled for July 11th. CRS-25 resupply mission needed some repairs after hydrazine vapors came in contact with the landing parachute. Lawmakers that were in charge when Flint, Michigan's water supply started killing people may not face charges as determined by other lawmakers.
The Michigan Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday that indictments against former Governor Rick Snyder and eight other people in the Flint water scandal were invalid. However, State Solicitor General Fadwa Hammoud appears to be ignoring that ruling, saying she's prepared to prove the allegations against them. Tuesday's ruling by the court wipes out those charges. The Supreme Court said state laws, quote, authorize a judge to investigate, subpoena witnesses, and issue arrest warrants as a one-person grand jury, but they do not authorize the judge to issue indictments, unquote. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Murray Sabin riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Libertarian icon, came from, became, or was an immigrant, and then became a libertarian icon, understanding Americans' checks and balances and the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, and more, better than most by far. He wrote a lot of books, etc. But you know what? I don't know if we're going to have a bust or not, and how quick it'll be if we do. But I know this, day to day, it's just this slow robbing of the Americans' wealth, doctor.
Well, there's no question about it. What is really troubling is we have 8% plus inflation year over year, and what are we getting in our money market accounts? Close to zero. Now, the last time we had a major inflation back in the late 70s, early 80s, interest rates were well above the rate of inflation. So in order to have that same policy in effect, interest rates would have to be 10% on our money market funds or our savings accounts. And yet the Federal Reserve has engineered, and the banks love it because they can charge more money for their loans and pay us pittance on our savings. This is probably the greatest financial heist in world history, where trillions of dollars of interest have been lost by the American people because of the Federal Reserve's egregious policies of keeping interest rates artificially depressed. And I've spoken to the congressman's district director here in Southwest Florida, and I said, this is a great scandal. Something should be done about this because this is, in other words, if you have $100,000, let's say you've saved all your life and you've got $100,000 in a money market account, you're getting close to zero and inflation is running 8%, you're losing $8,000 in purchasing power every year. That's a real capital loss that you should be able to deduct from your income tax as a loss. And the tax law should change to reflect that we are getting, to use a technical term, screwed by the Federal Reserve and the federal government.
Well, and in addition, we owe interest on that money, too, because every dollar in existence has interest attached to it. So not only are you going backwards by the inflationary reality, not only are you getting a pittance on your dollars, but we owe the longer that money's in, quote, existence, if you will, as well.
Well, this is why once the Federal Reserve was created, there are people who argued more than 100 years ago that this is going to lead to a disaster. And here we are, 100 plus years after the creation of the Federal Reserve, that what they've been doing is leading to the major crisis in U.S. financial markets and world financial markets, because central banks across the globe think it's their responsibility to manipulate the economy or to try to manage the economy. If you don't like the word manipulation, as some people don't, but they try to manage the economy. The economy does not need management. This is one of the great myths in the economics profession, that they think that you need the federal government either through tax and spending and borrowing, and the Federal Reserve through printing money and manipulating interest rates are the key to economic development and economic growth. That is probably the greatest economic myth that we have, and my goal is to challenge that throughout the country on radio shows, television shows if possible, keep on writing, and just point out that the emperor has no clothes, that the federal government is the great destroyer of the economy, and that the sooner the people realize it, the sooner they will demand changes.
Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. It makes you wonder, though, hey, is World War III already started? Is Russia, the Ukraine war going to be the flashpoint? What do you see? What's our way out of this?
Well, this is another example of the deep state, the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address in January 1961. He said the military-industrial complex is so strong that we have to be very cautious about what's going on. And since then, what's happened? We got the Bay of Pigs. We got the Cuban Missile Crisis. We got the Vietnam War. We got the two Middle Eastern wars. We now have a proxy war in Ukraine. This is an example of this ideology in Washington, D.C. that says our government has a responsibility to keep China and Russia at bay. This is part of the Heartland thesis that goes back to a British geographer from the 1890s and early 2000s who had this thesis that said that we have that the world and the United States has to maintain sort of a ring of defense around the heartland, which is China and Russia. And we've seen it played out since the end of World War II. And when I first learned about this, taking a course in political geography back in the 1960s as an undergraduate during the Vietnam War, I said, this is the key to understanding how bad American foreign policy is, because it's based on a false premise that the Soviet Union, Russia want to take over the world, that China wants to take over the world. Well, if they try to do things in other countries that people don't like, they will revolt, just as people have revolted 200 plus years. And of course, we revolted against the British because we didn't like what they were doing. So there's ample precedent for people not wanting to be oppressed by a foreign power. And so what we should be doing in America is just keeping our nose out of other people's businesses and being a voice of morality instead of trying to export democracy to the rest of the world, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It didn't work in Vietnam. It didn't work in Korea. It didn't work in other parts of the world. And so we just should butt out and let people decide their own fate and not spend trillions of dollars in military expenditures, which we have since the end of World War II. How many men and women have we lost in the military since the end of World War II? For what purpose? Is America better off? Is America more secure because of all these endless wars? And I've been on the right side of this issue, I believe, because I've been opposed to all these wars. And what we need to do is to stand firm together, the American people, saying we don't want war. We don't want our sons and daughters going to fight in far off lands for no apparent reason that has anything to do with our national security.
Well, and another point to highlight what you're saying, ladies and gentlemen, think about it this way. If these communist / socialist / fascist / dictatorships around the world, if they're really going to invade everybody and take over the world, and so we got to stop them, you got to look at the economic engine that underscores or undergirds that supposed system. Every one of the communist economic engines fail. Okay, they cannot survive without using somewhat of a free market. So what they do is they put enough of a free market in place to drive the dollars, but then they highlight it with tyranny or highlight it with fascism or communism or socialism or whatever other ism ideology that betrays the very free market that they pretend to uphold. If they were left to their own devices, they wouldn't even have an economic engine that could propel them forward at all, right?
Absolutely. We visited Cuba many years ago, and we had great visits with families. And the ones that we visited, the ones that are doing quite well in Cuba, the ones that are working in the free market. There is a free market in Cuba. We went to a market place of fruits and vegetables and meats, and it's all free market. And there's there was a sign in Spanish about how the free market here, you can get things that you want. Free markets work. It means that people are voluntarily deciding what goods and services to produce. And that's natural. That's organic. That's basic part of human nature, the human existence. And when governments get involved, all they do is upend that natural progression of buying and selling goods and services and the production of goods and services that people want. And so we have a lot of work to do in this country because there are people, very smart people with PhDs and other credentials, who think that government solutions are the answer. When if they just open their eyes and look at history and understand economics and finance, they will see that the top-down approaches, which I call real trickle-down economics, that government spends, the Federal Reserve manipulates, that comes all from Washington, D.C. That's trickle-down economics. It doesn't work. So why are we clinging on to something that doesn't work? The American people are supposed to be practical. If something is impractical, we got to get rid of it.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm seeing two competing factions right now, Dr. Sabrin, and I want to get your take on this. One is this World War III scenario where we seem to be the world's cop and everybody resents our hegemony, and eventually the blowback is going to be a serious, serious problem. Many free market people and economists and understand this and have highlighted this throughout the years. So on one hand, you got World War III and the competing battles internationally. But you've also got a battle internally in America, too, where, you know what, we're divided on every issue under the sun, whether it be abortion, whether it be immigration, whether it be I can go on and on. And so I'm a little bit worried that World War III might be started. But I'm also worried internally that we might end up having our own internal civil war, and secession might be a real possibility. You see the red states and the blue states now, the division gets greater and greater and greater. Texas has already talked recession. Other states have as well. Do you think a recession is a real possibility? And what do you think about these competing realities? What if we have both World War III on the international stage and a secessionary divide in America or whatever else? We could be in trouble very quickly with this stuff all on the table.
Well, 3 years ago, October 2019, before COVID became a word that was known to the American people, I gave my farewell address, my last year of teaching, what America would look like, entitled America the Next 70 Years. There's a video of it. You could go Google it, America the Next 70 Years. And what I did in that presentation, Sam, is I talked about the previous 70 years, which is the 70 years since I arrived in America in 1949 to 2019, what America was like for the prior 70 years, and what America will look like in the next 70 years. And my prediction was that I don't think in the next 70 years America will be one country, that there are too many different cultures, too many different political conflicts going on in America right now that will keep the country together. And so I'm not hoping for it. I'm just saying this is the reality of the way things are unfolding, because people cannot get along because they have different values and preferences and ideology. And so it's very difficult to keep the country together when you have so many disparate views.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Murray Sabrin with me. MurraySabrin.com is his website. Ladies and gentlemen, is secession a real possibility? Well, another possibility is different debt holders declare they get part of the country and we divide it up based on our debt load. We'll talk about that when we come back. And we got a whole lot more. Liberty Roundtable.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card, or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
America, the next 70 years, ladies and gentlemen, is recession a real possibility in America? Unfortunately, I think the answer is yes. America, the next 70 years, free enterprise. If you look that up, you'll be able to find this incredible video. But I'm saying that, you know what? We might have America with states seceding. We're divided, red states, blue states, big time, and it's only getting worse. There's so many cultures, as Dr. Sabrin talked about already. But yet, I almost think that based on our debt, you know what? You've got different international groups that own pieces of America. When it comes to land, when it comes to debt, they've built enclaves of groups of people in certain states where they have a lot of their citizens that have come over for many reasons. And sadly, I'm okay if people come to America, but I want them to become Americans. That's the way it used to be. Nowadays, they come over here, and they're not really Americans. They're just Chinese or whatever implants in America, but they still really believe in their mother country more than they do America. They're just here to gain knowledge and take advantage of it financially and everything else, but they're not really becoming Americans in the traditional sense. This divide, we might just be chopped up based on debt, Dr. Sabrin.
Well, I think that's a real possibility. I think what's kind of interesting in America, having observed this for a long, long time and done a deep dive, it, America was basically a European nation. European immigrants came to America, and it was basically a Western European, East European nation. Then as immigrants from other parts of the world came, from South America, from Africa, from Asia, the United States became more of a international melting pot as opposed to just a European melting pot. And we know it's very difficult to have a country based upon different ethnic groups. I mean, the Soviet Union has so many ethnic groups. Look at Czechoslovakia, no longer exists. They split between Czech and Slovakia. Look at Yugoslavia, no longer exists. You have about eight different republics that came out of Yugoslavia because of the different ethnic groups. So for us to think that we can keep a country together because of all the different ethnic and cultural groups we have in America is wishful thinking. Now, it could happen. America could stay the same for the next 50, 100 years. Nobody knows the answer to that. But all I'm suggesting is there are too many tensions in this country right now that suggest that the country cannot be one nation under God, indivisible. That, I think, is just something that we have to grapple with, that it may be better off that Texas becomes a state or a country. California is certainly large enough to be a country. It would be one of the largest countries in the world with its GDP. New York State, New York City, the Southeast. I mean, you could break up America probably into about nine different countries, and everyone would go their own way and have their own laws to reflect the values and culture of the people in those areas. And we would have, what, peaceful coexistence. And that's the way I think we could become over the next 50, 70 years. And I think it would be a healthier progression of America rather than trying to keep the country together with all these contentious issues that the country faces, from abortion to gun control to spending to taxes. So I think we have an opportunity here to say something really quite transformative. Is we had this experiment of one nation for 225 years. Maybe it's time that the marriage of the states end and we go our separate ways, not 50 separate countries, but maybe 10 countries that would give us a much better existence rather than these incredible tensions that we have in this country today.
Well, if we culturally become Americans, if government obeys the checks and balances to where we keep government in its proper role based on limiting power vertically and horizontally, all the checks and balances, and we hold the moral high ground of religious moral people, primarily the libertarian philosophy, I think we can stay together as a country. But if we devolve and the government decides that they're going to try to take our guns, so we have gun control now, kind of thing. Look, the founding fathers were pretty patient until King George came for the guns, and then they said, uh-uh, we're not crossing that line. So gun control, Second Amendment's the libertarian answer. I agree with that, but if we're not very careful, the government becomes the very enemy that forces the divide, because certain groups say, look, we're not doing that, and we're not doing this. And then you have other groups saying, look, culturally, we don't agree with that, and now the culture war takes effect. And all these divides that I believe are intentionally created and fostered are the real problem. And unless we grab the moral high ground again and obey the principles that made America great, we're going to lose her.
There's no question about it. I lived in New Jersey for many decades, and New Jersey evolved from a fairly limited government approach. And then once when they got the income tax in the mid-1970s and the sales tax in the 1960s, things really went downhill. I mean, I ran for governor 25 years ago as a third-party candidate, as a Libertarian Party candidate. And I pointed out there was no difference between Governor Whitman and Jim McGreevy. One was tax and spend, one was borrow and spend. So the outcome was the same, higher and higher spending at the state level. And now New Jersey has become really an economic basket case, because people are leaving the state in droves. Companies are very hesitant to move to New Jersey. They're coming to Florida, which we did a year ago. And it's a breath of fresh air. Not only is the air cleaner down here, but you feel much freer than you did in New Jersey, where you had all these mask mandates and lockdowns and incredible draconian restrictions during the COVID period. And here in Florida for the past year, masks were pretty much optional, except in the hospitals and doctor's offices. But other than that, people didn't wear masks. And you can tell who the Northerners were, because they're wearing masks all the time in the heat, which doesn't make any sense to me from a medical point of view or a health point of view. So again, people have different values. The question is, how do people express their values in a peaceful way? And that's really the key, Sam. How do people express their values in a peaceful way and not put their values on other people or force their values on other people? And that is the issue that we have to come to grips with in America. How do we live peacefully with each other with different value systems? And that's why decentralization is the answer. Reducing the size of the federal government, reducing the scope of the federal government, and Gadsden Flag says, "Don't tread on me, leave me alone, do unto others as you others do unto you," and just abide by the golden rule. And if everyone did that, you wouldn't need prisons, because people would be peaceful and try to achieve what they want peacefully, rather than using a gun or a knife or anything else, or a cyber fraud that's rampant in this country. So we need law enforcement to make sure that people are secure and protected, rather than trying to use the legal system, which the Biden administration is doing, to attack their political opponents. And this is why I say there's a stench of Nazism in the air in Washington, D.C., and Biden is the perfect puppet for the people behind the scenes to pull the strings to give us this authoritarian regime that we now have in Washington.
But as you mentioned, Florida, a breath of fresh air. A big shout out to Governor Ron. We got to keep it that way. Gun control is the quintessential issue, though. We need to have the right to keep and bear arms. Believe it or not, more guns, less crime is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's talk about immigration a little bit, because that's a hot topic right now. The border leaking like a sieve. But you really are an immigrant, and you got a proposal to solve it, right?
Well, we came here in 1949, August 1949. My parents, my older brother, and I arrived in New York City on a 7-8 day voyage across the Atlantic. My father wrote his first cousin and his great aunt, who raised his mother in America in the early part of the 20th century. We got our papers to come to America. We had sponsorship. We were supported by HIAS, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, which is now just called HIAS by the initials. We lived in a three-room railroad apartment on Lower East Side, paying $26 a month. My father got a job at a pencil factory at $1 an hour. And then 4 years later, we moved uptown to the Bronx, and we had a beautiful two-bedroom apartment. The whole key here, Sam, is to get sponsorship. People have to come to another country in a way that the government wants people to come here, which is in America, it was sponsorship. Get a sponsor. That sponsor will support you. Don't be a burden on the taxpayers. Have a skill, have a trade, and work and become part of the fabric of America. That is the way it happened. I'm all for immigration if it's done legally. What we have at the border is a total disaster. Look at what we had: 50 people die in a tractor trailer because they suffocated from the heat. This is a humanitarian tragedy, and the Biden administration doesn't even recognize that policies are causing this to happen because you have these coyotes bringing in people at incredible, making incredible amounts of money doing so, and people are risking their lives trying to get across the Rio Grande. Some of them are drowning. And God knows what illnesses they bring, because we know the incidence of TB is very high in third world countries. And so during this whole COVID episode, when people from Europe had to get tested before they could come to America or vaccinated, people were crossing the border, and we didn't even know what the health status was. This is really a shocking breakdown of law and order at the border. And the Biden administration has really blood on their hands. They have death on their hands because they've allowed this to occur under their watch.
There is a way, ladies and gentlemen, to deal with this, and sponsorship is one of the great keys. The other great key is slam the illegal door shut and open the legal door and make it possible. A lot of people who want to come to America who try to do it the right way just get stuck in whatever you want to call it, limbo, forever, and can't hardly get it done. It's really expensive. It takes forever. But at the same time, it's our policies that are the problem. We don't have much time, but I want to highlight this topic as well because it's so hot in the news. Roe versus Wade. Roe shut down. Now it's back to the states. But abortion pro-life is the libertarian answer, doctor.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I'll give you my evolution on this issue. In 1973, I was a young graduate student, and I was pro-choice at the time. But the Roe versus Wade decision, I thought, was a horrific decision because there's nothing in the Constitution that says that abortion is a constitutional right. My views evolved. I saw pictures of partial birth abortion in the 1990s, and I said, how could this be happening in America? This is infanticide. And then when I became the Libertarian Party candidate, I spoke to Ron Paul, who sent me his book, Challenge to Liberty, which is a libertarian defense of the pro-life position, and that put me into the pro-life camp. The basic premise of libertarianism is commit no aggression. Well, when you're destroying a life in the womb, that is aggression, and therefore that's a violation of basic, not only humanitarian principle, but a libertarian principle of do no harm, commit no aggression against an innocent person. So again, let the states decide based upon their culture and their values. And so I'm very comfortable promoting a libertarian pro-life position because I think it's the right thing to do. It's consistent with our Judaic Christian heritage of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not harm anybody. And so I've been on this approach for 25 years now, since Ron Paul convinced me that the pro-life position and the libertarian position are very compatible. And so I wish my fellow libertarians and would take that position as well, because it would show that the libertarian position is not only good for living people, but it's also good for the child in the womb that is yearning to be born.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to learn more, Sabrin Center for Free Enterprise, you can learn about America the next 70 years. His website, murraysabrin.com, and you can see why the leader of Talkers Magazine saying this guy ought to have his own talk show. You know, these libertarian solutions of live and let live, of pro-life, of the moral high ground, of saying let's not have aggression, let's jettison these wars and stand by the Prince of Peace, that's really the key to the success of the future of America. And if we embrace this peaceful agenda, if we culturally stand together and live and let live, so to speak, I think there's a lot of hope for America. But if we continue to divide on every fault line, it's just a matter of time when those fault lines will go too far. And then the disassembly of the greatest country on the face of the earth will begin to be the reality. Our prayers are that we can stand together and claim the moral high ground and promote God, family, and country. Dr. Sabrin, thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you so much, Sam, and keep up the great work.
MurraySabrin.com, his website, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Man, have we got a lot for you. Hang tight. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word, share the love, radio 24/7 at your fingertips, free, live and on demand. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.